Wow. My name's April, and I'm an alcoholic. Aren't you all supposed to be on vacation? You're not all supposed to be here. I got this call yesterday, and I was told, oh, probably everybody will be out of town. I'm like, oh. I'm an alcoholic. I have been sober this time for 2 years. The first time I came into the program was in 2003. And alcohol didn't get me the next time. Marijuana did the next time because I thought I was different than everybody else. And I thought that, you know, that's a little weed. Never hurt anybody. You know, it's natural, right? Yeah. So I started smoking pot again. I started smoking pot in 2009. Got myself in a lot of trouble. Decided to start growing marijuana, growing a lot of it. And got arrested by the FBI. And I am now off of probation on February 28th. I am an upstanding citizen now. So that's what are my credentials as being a real alcoholic, that I think while I'm sober, I was sober. I was going to 11 meetings a week. I was sponsoring people. I was doing panels. And my little brain worked it out for me that I could grow marijuana. And not just a little marijuana, a lot of marijuana. That I could grow a lot of marijuana and still continue my little life in AA and just keep this little part of my life secret. And that's what I did. And I grew weed for about 8 months before I actually picked up because, you know, I'm a sober member of Alcoholics Anonymous. And what I found out was that, you know, they say faith without works is dead and works without faith is dead. And lots of works without faith, it's a beginning, it's a start. If you're in here and you're going through the motions and you're going to meetings and you're doing it, it kept me sober for 6 years. And I did the steps. And I had great sponsorship and I had wonderful people that supported me and brought me into this program. I went to meetings across the street at Brothers Restaurant 3 days a week. And I cried for 2 years. First when I came in and they called me the crier. They were very sweet to me. They called on me every time and I think just to hear me cry because I needed to cry. I was really hurting a lot when I came into this program. I was suicidal. I had a terrible alcohol problem. I was belligerent and nasty and had violent tendencies and I was a mess. I was a big mess, and I thought because I kept my job and you know, I had a car, and I paid my rent, and I paid my taxes sometimes, that I that I was okay, you know, and I wasn't okay. And I came into this, I went into a rehab program, a 90-day outpatient program. My boss, who I was the nastiest beak to in the world, was undermined her authority every chance I got. Went out of my way to make her life miserable. She was the one that helped me get help. She was the one who worked out my schedule so that I could work. I think 3 12-hour shifts instead of working 8-hour shifts. And she's paying me overtime. She's working the schedule all around. And these are the kind of. This was the kind of gift that came into my life. I didn't see it as a gift at the time. I was pretty broken. And so I went into rehab and I came out and I started going to meetings and I went to meetings and I got a great sponsor and I did my steps and I was honest as I possibly could, as possible as you can be in your first year of sobriety, which maybe ain't so honest. I wasn't real honest. I wasn't honest with myself. I was honest with people, as honest as I thought I could. But I had to continually do those steps over and over and over again. And then my path took me where it took me. And I kept skipping over three. You know, I didn't know what to do with three. You know, came to believe in a power greater than myself. Turned my will and my life over to the care of God. I had no concept of what that meant. And so I just kept doing it and doing it and doing it over and over and over again. And then one day, I was actually stoned, sitting in my backyard, and talking to myself, because that's who were the only people that wanted to talk to me were me and my cat, because I was difficult to get along with. When I'm drinking or using drugs, I am difficult to get along with. When I'm not, I'm not. I'm not difficult to get along with at all. And so I'm talking to myself, and I came to the realization that there is a God that loves me, and it was based on all the things that had taken place in my life that I had actually been brought to this point in my life. I had so many people here in San Diego who just loved me. The members of Alcoholics Anonymous embraced me. I never had real problems. You know, you hear about a lot of people getting, you know, I guess it's 13 steps in the program. And you know, the men of Alcoholics Anonymous have been really honorable and good to me. There's men in this room that have really stepped up and helped me with my cars, helped me with get things done, and have been real gentlemen to me. And that's what the program teaches other people to do. I was taught to be a lady in this program, and many of the men in this program have taught to be how to be men in this program. And so I continued on, and I finally found a God of my understanding. I was not able to find freedom and serenity until I did. I was not able to become who I was really meant to become and be relaxed and comfortable in my own skin. Prior to that, I had never been comfortable in my own skin. I had always understood what pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization meant. I knew what it meant. I knew what it meant when I was 8. And I was getting in trouble for, you know, taking all the heads off the neighbor's doll and hiding them in the rock thing. And then the parents get mad and they call you and, you know, and I never understood why I was always getting in all this trouble and why people would like me for a while, but then they wouldn't like me anymore. And so it wasn't until I actually turned my will, and it takes practice. It takes a long time. It took me a long time. Some get it quickly. Some get it slowly. I happened to get it slowly, and it took me a relapse and an arrest and a possible 10-year sentence to actually get it together, to get it together and turn my will and my life over to God, and not to have all this this pride and arrogance in my way and all this stuff. And so through a God of my understanding and through the tender care of the members of Alcoholics Anonymous, I'm a free individual today. Whereas prior to this, I was on my knees. Alcohol had me on my knees. I did whatever it wanted, whenever it wanted me to do it. And today I don't do that. And now I was a girl that failed in everything she had done before. I quit school when I was 14 years old. And now I'm back in school. I'm going to college. I'm getting a 3.8 grade point average. This was a kid that couldn't pass. I failed second and fourth. I failed first, second, fourth grade. And the last grade I passed was sixth grade. And I just went from school to cold seventh and eighth, and then finally I just gave up because it was just, I couldn't get my mind wrapped around anything long enough to be successful at it. So Alcoholics Anonymous has taught me how to do that. It calmed me down. I've had sponsors sit down and read every single word in the book of Alcoholics Anonymous has been read with me and to me by a member of Alcoholics Anonymous. I've had an opportunity to make my amends. When I told everybody in town that I was doing every lie I could possibly get to go off to L.A. to grow marijuana, I had to come back here and tell people what I was doing and how many lies I told. And everybody embraced me and loved me and cared about me. And nobody said to me, you know, you're a horrible person, you're this or that. They all embraced me. And you know, I had people say, well, yeah, that's what alcoholics do. We relapse and we lie and we do all these things. But I don't have to do all those things anymore because of a God of my own understanding and because I've taken this program seriously, because when they call me, I show up. Because and not just alcoholic-related things. When I have a girlfriend who needs help cleaning her house, I help her. Or if I need somebody who, you know, needs a ride, I give them a ride. You know, if I got, you know, if I got a few bucks in my pocket and somebody needs a couple of bucks to get somewhere to get a bus pass, I give it to them. You know, I do things like this, and that wasn't the way I used to be. I was a selfish, self-centered, very egotistical, rotten human being before I came here, and that's not the case anymore. And that's my 10 minutes. And thank you very much for. I have a stopwatch here. So, yeah.